Welcome to Royally Fooled. My name is Chris Shearer. Usually we'd be talking about history's best, worst, and bizarre rulers, but we are not doing that today. It's the 1st of April when this episode is being released, so we're back to another installment of the show where I get to talk about some of the greatest, worst, and bizarre rulers from fiction. Last year we did Queen Maeve from ancient Irish mythology. This year we're doing a character from much more recent fiction, Ganondorf Dragmire, one of the main antagonists of the video game series Legend of Zelda, which just so happens to be one of my top favorite series of all time in any form of media. Now, if you know a fair bit about that series, you'll know that Ganondorf and his monstrous form Ganon show up in many different games, across many different time periods, across a few different timelines. Now, this won't be an expansive list of every Ganondorf slash Ganon appearance in the Legend of Zelda series. In fact, it'll probably just be a look into Ganondorf in his Gerudo form. What's a Gerudo? Well, we'll get into that. That means I'm gonna cover the games Ocarina of Time, Twilight Princess, and Wind Waker. If you don't know anything about the series, here's the briefest of rundowns. The first game, The Legend of Zelda, was developed and released by gaming company Nintendo in 1986. It featured a young boy, Link, who explored a world called Hyrule, traversed through dungeons, gathered special weapons and treasure, and ultimately defeated an evil demon lord to save Princess Zelda. And that formula has been iterated upon for a total of 20 games so far. Also, there's a lot of stuff in the Zelda series that is left up to fan interpretation. Plenty of lore is actually not fully agreed upon within the fanbase. This is all to say that I'll be explaining things in this episode based upon fan theories that I personally agree with that you, the listener, might not. And as a full-fledged other human being, it's fully within your right to disagree with me. After all, this is an April Fool's episode of a show. It doesn't really matter in the long run. So, without further ado, let's begin the story. We're jumping into the mystical land of Hyrule, several years after the end of a brutal civil war in Royally Fooled, Ganondorf Dragmire. Long ago, three goddesses descended upon the empty world. In fact, it would be wrong to call it a world. It was just chaos. Their names were Din, Nehru, and Feror. The trio would come to be known by the name the Golden Goddesses. Each of these three goddesses bestowed their own gift upon the land. Din, a powerful goddess with fiery might, created the world, the ground beneath our feet. Nehru, the goddess of wisdom, gave law and order to the new world. Feror, a goddess associated with courage and the wind, created life that would live on the world created by Din and followed the odor of law created by Nehru. These three omnipotent goddesses, with their work completed, left their newly created world. However, they did not leave before bestowing one final gift, the Triforce. The Triforce was a symbol of the goddess's power. Three triangular pieces coming together to form one larger triangle. The three separate pieces represented the powers of the goddesses who made it. The Triforce of Power, the Triforce of Wisdom, and the Triforce of Courage. Together, the three pieces of the Triforce had the ability to grant the wish of any mortal being who managed to get their hands on it. Because the power was truly meant for any mortal individual, good or evil, the Golden Goddesses left the protection of the ultimate power under the protection of a fourth goddess, Hylia. Hylia was yet another omnipotent goddess, though not much is said of her background before being entrusted with the Triforce. Was she another goddess who existed within the primordial chaos? Was she created by the Golden Goddesses specifically to protect the new world? We may never know for certain. However, the world seemed to mostly be at peace while the goddess performed her divine duties. She helped rule over the people of this world, whose followers of the goddess became known as Hylians. In order to better protect the Triforce, it was secreted away to a special location referred to as the Sacred Realm. this time would come to be known as the Era of Hylia. Then one day, an army of demons and monsters rose up to defy the rule of Hylia. This army was led by a being of dark malice, Demise. Demise sought the power of the Triforce for himself. In order to protect the Hylians and the Triforce, Hylia gathered her followers on a piece of land and sent it floating up into the sky. She also created the Cloud Barrier, a magical layer of clouds that would forever separate the land and the sky, therefore protecting the Hylians and the sacred power. Meanwhile, the other races of the world, who just weren't protected, so screw them, I guess, banded together under the command of Hylia to fight back against the army of Demise. They managed to beat back the forces of evil, and Demise was sealed away. But Hylia was severely injured during the war against Demise. Knowing she did not have long, the goddess enacted further protections on the surface world before shedding her divine powers in order to be reborn as immortal Hylian. Time passed. Centuries, perhaps even millennia. Eventually, the former goddess was reborn as a girl named Zelda. When one of Demise's generals managed to capture Zelda, bringing her to the surface world, her childhood friend and knight-in-training Link went on a quest to save her. In the process, Zelda learned that she was the goddess Hylia reborn. And Link, through a series of trials and tribulations on the surface world, managed to empower a sword granted to him by a spirit loyal to Hylia into a weapon able to destroy Demise, the Master Sword. After Link defeats Demise, the Lord of the Demons promises that his hatred will begin a cycle of reincarnation between good and evil. He will follow the descendants of Link and Zelda, heroes and the goddess reborn, until the end of time. And so begins the never-ending fight between good and evil. Link and Zelda help found the Kingdom of Hyrule. As part of a tradition, every princess in the royal family is named Zelda. Every so often, evil once again rears its head to conquer the world. And every time, a new hero, always named Link, rises to protect Zelda and defeat whatever evil plagues Hyrule. And then there's Groose. Groose was once a rival of the original Link, and he was also in love with Zelda. During Link's adventure, Groose also ended up on the surface, where, through being forced to work hard and think about someone else besides himself for once, helps Link in his battle against the forces of Demise. After the founding of Hyrule, it's believed by some that the descendants of Groose eventually moved, or were forced to move, to the desert next to Hyrule proper. These descendants, all bearing Groose's signature red hair and golden eyes, eventually became known as the Gerudo. Though Groose may have been a man of good character, the Gerudo themselves, once they were fully considered a different race from the Hylians, turned to thievery. For whatever reason, a curse by the goddesses, a random twist of fate, or whatever else, the Gerudo always seemed to only be able to give birth to female children. Over the years, this has led to there only being female Gerudo, and the tribe are entirely made up of women who must mate with people of different races to continue their bloodline. Now, I say they almost always give birth to girls. Once every 100 years, a sole male Gerudo child is born. And when he is born, that child is automatically made king of the Gerudo, and thus thrust into a great destiny. But what happens when someone with that sort of guarantee just so happens to be the reincarnation of a demon? Ganondorf Dragmire, though actually in Gerudo the family name comes first, so it would be Dragmire Ganondorf, was born in the Gerudo Desert, as the area had come to be known after some time, formerly being named the Lanayru Desert in the distant past. While his birth parents are unknown, as the future king of the Gerudo, Ganondorf was raised by two powerful Gerudo witches, Kome and Kotake. Kome had mastery over the element of fire, and Kotake mastery over ice. Under their tutelage, Ganondorf became a master of sorcery, specializing in dark magic. Whether or not Koma and Katake knew of Ganondorf's secret, him being the reincarnation of Demise's malice, isn't known, but their influence certainly did not help the young Gerudo towards a path of peace and justice. As was custom from a very young age, Ganondorf was recognized as chieftain of the Gerudo people. His strength and magical abilities even pushed his state of worship to that of a god, supplanting the Gerudo worship of the enigmatic desert goddess they previously believed in. But even then, Ganondorf was not universally hailed among the Gerudo. One of his top lieutenants, a woman named Naboru, was especially skeptical of her king. Though the Gerudo were thieves, they usually had a code they stuck to, usually only stealing from men. Ganondorf went beyond that code, stealing from the women and children of Hyrule, and even going as far as to murder some of their victims. At some point in his life, Ganondorf learned of the Triforce, and it no doubt awakened something in him that had always been there. He had always grown up with a sense of destiny, but this propelled him even further down a darker path. He would do anything in his power to get a hold of that omnipotent power. However, he was a member of the Gerudo. They were not citizens of Hyrule and were relatively looked down upon by the Hylians. Luckily for Ganondorf, Hyrule was in the late stages of a brutal civil war. When the King of Hyrule finally managed to get a firm grasp on the situation, he approached the Gerudo people with surprising news. After the Hylian Civil War, the Kingdom of Hyrule annexed the Gerudo Desert, meaning that the Gerudo now lived within the borders of the kingdom. Now technically as a citizen, Ganondorf began plotting on how to get his hands on the Triforce. He discovered that it was hidden in the Sacred Realm, which in turn was protected by the power of the Master Sword in the Temple of Time. In order to access the Chamber of the Master Sword, one would need the power of the three spiritual stones, each protected by a different group throughout Hyrule. The spiritual stone of the forest was protected by the Deku Tree, an ancient sentient tree residing in Kokiri Woods, home to a group of unaging childlike elves. The spiritual stone of fire was protected by the Gorons, a race of rock-like humanoids living in the fun-sounding volcano Death Mountain. The spiritual stone of water was protected by the Zora, an amphibious race of fish people. Ganondorf created a master plan that he hoped would see control of the spiritual stones come under his control, or at the very least, he would be present when the spiritual stones were brought to the Temple of Time. First, he summoned a large parasite to destroy the Deku Tree from within, lessening the power of the Great Forest Spirit and its domain. Then he approached the Gorons to request their spiritual stone. When they refused, Ganondorf created an infestation of fire-breathing lizards and blocked off a cave to the Gorons' source of food. By the way, that source of food happened to be a specific type of rock. When the Zora also disagreed to give up their stone, Ganondorf poisoned Lord Jabu Jabu, a great water spirit the Zora protected and revered. In his wake, Ganondorf left Hyrule a place of misery on the brink of destruction. But he needed to make sure that no one would be able to place the devastation on him. After all of his evil works, Ganondorf put on an act of humility and accepted the King of Hyrule's request to his castle. There, the leader of the Gerudo swore fealty to the king as the newest citizens of his kingdom. And for all intents and purposes, this seemed like the final step of his plan. He could just sit back, doing nothing, and the entire kingdom would fall apart. He would be able to waltz up to each holder of the spiritual stones and take them for his own. And no one would have ever suspected it. But that wasn't actually Ganondorf's plan, because someone very much did suspect him, the young princess of Hyrule, Zelda. Zelda had been born with powerful abilities, such as dreams that vaguely predict the future. She saw through Ganondorf's plans, but no one believed her. That is, until Ganondorf's true enemy decided to finally show up. because the cycle of reincarnation had brought forth yet another hero to fight the Demon King. Unfortunately for Zelda, though, Ganondorf's plans very much revolved around the existence of the hero Link. There was a very important part of accessing the Sacred Realm that Ganondorf had overlooked, and that was the Song of Time. That song, when played on the instrument the Ocarina of Time in front of the Spiritual Stones, would open the door that sealed the chamber to the Master Sword. While the reincarnation of the hero Link was busy trying to undo Ganondorf's evil deeds and in the process collecting the Spiritual Stones, Ganondorf finally started to show his true colors to the Kingdom of Hyrule. He managed to overthrow the King of Hyrule, in the process using his army of Gerudo to take down most of the royal guard in the nation's capital. However, just when he was about to get his hands on the Ocarina of Time, which was being protected by the Princess Zelda, the young princess was carried away to safety by her royal bodyguard, Impa. Also, I should note here for anyone not in the know that Zelda and Link are about 10 years old at this point in time. Ganondorf is like, maybe in his 30s. The only thing that stands between the reincarnation of the Demon King and a world of darkness is two preteens. Anyway, just as Link has procured the three spiritual stones, he arrives at the kingdom's capital just in time to be Zelda being chased by Ganondorf. She throws the Ocarina of Time into the city's moat, which Ganondorf was unaware of. This gave the child hero everything he needed in order to retrieve the Master Sword, the weapon that could help him take down Ganondorf. However, there was a glaring problem both Zelda, Link, and their allies had failed to overlook. Link was too young to wield the Master Sword. When he made to draw the sword from its pedestal, not too unlike King Arthur pulling the sword from the stone, a powerful sage in the Sacred Realm paused Link in time for 7 years, when he would be considered grown enough to hold the sword. So now there's no king, no princess, and no hero. The entrance to the Sacred Realm was left wide open. Almost everything had fallen into place, just as Ganondorf had planned. However, when Ganondorf finally gets his hands on the Triforce, something quite unexpected happens. Instead of granting his wish, the Triforce separates into its three separate parts: power, wisdom, and courage. Link, despite being frozen, is imbued with the Triforce of Courage, granting him a resistance to magic. Zelda is imbued with the Triforce of Wisdom, enhancing her magical abilities she was born with. Ganondorf is given the Triforce of Power, which enhances his dark magic and his already impressive strength. Though he was not able to achieve his true goal, the Triforce of Power was enough to give Ganondorf the ability to bend Hyrule to his will. He quickly gets to work forcing the different cultures and races of Hyrule to either bend to his will or face his wrath. The kingdom's capital seemingly rebelled against their new leader, so Ganondorf destroyed it. The city's survivors had to flee across the nation to Kakariko Village, the last bastion of safety. The Kokiri, the unaging elf children in the woods, were chased away from the forest when Ganondorf further infested it with monsters. He unleashed a powerful dragon that killed many of the Gorons. The Zora's domain was frozen, and the lake they lived near, Hyrule's main source of water no less, was dried up. And even then, he released further demonic entities and monsters who had long been imprisoned so that they would torture those who did not bow to his power. Only the Gerudo remained untouched, but even then, they lived in fear for what their king had become. Any who spoke out against him were dealt with cruelly. There was no one left who could stop the king of the Gerudo, now the ruler of Hyrule. Zelda had last been seen before the destruction. The hero destined to fight him was frozen in time. Ganondorf had won. Seven years after pulling the Master Sword from its pedestal, Link was unfrozen and given the task of defeating Ganondorf. In order to do so, he would need to bring together the seven sages, whose powers combined could stop the Demon King. Just one problem. Six of the seven sages had yet to realize they were sages. Okay, maybe only five, but I'll say six here. So, once more, Link went out on a quest to undo Ganondorf's schemes and awaken the six sages. Along the way, he was accompanied by a mysterious figure named Sheik, who was appropriately a member of the ninja-like clan known as the Sheikah. With Sheik's wisdom, Link managed to fulfill his duty of awakening five of the six sages, along the way freeing the rest of Hyrule from Ganondorf's evil machinations. However, the Gerudo King remained, having transformed Hyrule Castle into his personal fortress. He even used his incredible power to make it float over a pit of lava. If that's not evil, I don't know what is. But just when Link was about to lead the charge on Ganondorf's castle, a new bump in the road was revealed. Okay, so I know I've been talking about the story of Ocarina of Time all this time, but this next tidbit is considered like the one spoiler of that game. Granted, the game is over 20 years old at this point, so skip ahead if you don't want that. Sheik revealed that they are none other than Princess Zelda herself, having been trained in the way of the Sheikah in order to fight against Ganondorf. She also happens to be one of the seven sages. However, with her identity revealed, Ganondorf swooped in and kidnapped the princess. Now charged with a twofold mission, stop Ganondorf and rescue the princess, Link stormed the castle. After further trials, he managed to make it to Ganondorf, and the pair engaged in a battle, Ganondorf's magic against Link's skill with the Master Sword. After a barrage of attacks, Link managed to seemingly take down the evil ruler and save Zelda. However, Ganondorf's strength made it so that Hyrule Castle started falling apart. And just when the pair escaped the castle before it fully collapsed, Zelda sensed that they were not yet out of the fire. Ganondorf was still alive. Using the full strength of the Triforce of Power, Ganondorf is transformed into a giant boar-like demon. Once again, the hero who traveled through time took up the Master Sword to fight his destined foe. This time, Zelda was able to lend a hand, and she used her magic and powers as a sage to stun Ganondorf's beast form. Link lands a final blow on the King of Evil. Though it does not kill Ganondorf, it weakens him to the point where Zelda and the other sages can use their magical abilities to seal away Ganondorf forever in the Sacred Realm. Ironic, isn't it? Ganondorf had spent so long seeking the power of the Sacred Realm, and now he would be trapped there as a prisoner, unable to use his abilities. Zelda decides to send Link back in time using the Ocarina of Time, letting him get to relive his childhood that was stolen from him. As part of that, she tells him to let Hyrule, the Hyrule of 7 years in the past, know what Ganondorf would do. His treachery, his evil plans. Link agrees, and the rest is history. After Link is sent back to the past, he warns the King of Hyrule about Ganondorf's plans. The King then just decides to believe the 10-year-old. Look, I know that Link is the hero and was telling the truth, but that is a bit wacky, let's be honest here. Anyway, the King of Hyrule decides to course correct his idea for peace with the Gerudo. And then he overcorrects into the genocide of the Gerudo tribe. Now, it's entirely possible that some Gerudo survived. It's been said some fled further into the Gerudo desert, away from the reaches of the Hyrulean royalty and army. Others were possibly able to hide their identities and assimilate into the Hylian culture. Ganondorf was imprisoned in a new fortress, possibly repurposed from either the Gerudo's main fortress or the remains of the Spirit Temple, an old temple that had once been used by the Gerudo for worship to the desert goddess. After several years of imprisonment, Ganondorf was finally sentenced to death at the hands of a new group of seven sages. he was tied to a massive piece of stone which had once been an artifact used to imprison traitors in a different realm. We'll get to that in a second. Ganondorf was impaled with a magical sword and seemingly met his end. However, just before he breathed his last, something unexpected happened. Whether it was a cosmic joke or just Ganondorf's tenacity, the Triforce of Power lit up on his hand. Now remember, this is not the Ganondorf that tricked his way into the Sacred Realm and destroyed Hyrule. This is a version of Ganondorf who did not get that far. He shouldn't have had access to that power. Using his newfound strengths, Ganondorf survived the blow and used the magical sword to slay one of the Seven Sages. As a last resort and to protect the world, the remaining sages activated the Mirror of Twilight, an ancient artifact that opens the Portal Stone, the same one Ganondorf was tied to. Unable to escape its pull, Ganondorf was pulled away into the Twilight Realm. Okay, now what the heck is the Twilight Realm? Well, long ago, a group of sorcerers attempted to do what Ganondorf had been planning, break into the Sacred Realm and get their hands on the Triforce. The goddesses intervened and trapped the sorcerers in another realm of existence, the Twilight Realm. Living there for centuries, maybe millennia, the descendants of the sorcerers transformed into a race of people called the Twi'lai. In the Twilight Realm, Ganondorf's Triforce of Power gathered the generational hatred and despair that had festered in the Twi'lai all this time. The power transformed Ganondorf into a godlike being, though he was still very much trapped in the Twilight Realm. After lingering for centuries, gathering more power, Ganondorf comes across a Twi'lai named Zant. Zant was an advisor to the King of the Twi'lai and believed himself to be next in line for the throne, despite the king very much having a daughter named Midna. When Midna then takes the throne, Zant tries to proposition her but is turned down. Ganondorf finds Zant after this, cursing his own life. He manages to influence the downtrodden Twi'lai and grants him immeasurable power. Zant usurps the throne of the Twi'lai and transforms Midna into a tiny imp-like creature. With his new powers, Zant managed to do what no Twi'lai had ever done. He broke free from the Twilight Realm and invaded Hyrule, casting the realm in twilight, turning it into a land of shadow and despair. With Zant as his very powerful puppet, Ganondorf was once more able to reach back into the world he was born into, and he was bent on getting revenge against the people who had wronged him. Unfortunately for Ganondorf, where there is evil, there will be a princess named Zelda, and a hero named Link. This version of Link was once a non-assuming swordsman in a rural village, who also happened to be the descendant of the same Link who thwarted his plans in the distant past. And while this generation Zelda was a fairly good archer and an intelligent ruler, that wasn't enough to stop her from being kidnapped by Zant and put under Ganondorf's control. Once more, the incarnation of the hero Link went through a series of trials and tribulations in order to overcome the power of darkness. This time, he would be accompanied by Midna, the scorned princess of the Twi'lai. He would also be turned into a wolf, but that's a completely different story. After eventually making his way to the Twilight Realm, Link confronts Zant. It is there that Zant reveals the truth behind his power, as well as revealing his powerful benefactor's existence. Meanwhile, Ganondorf seized Hyrule Castle, filling its halls with an army of his minions. Despite the past changing hundreds of years ago, Hyrule was once more under Ganondorf's control. But Link and Midna overthrew Zant and made their way straight to Hyrule Castle. Combined with the aid of a resistance group, Link and Midna made their way through Hyrule Castle to the throne room, perhaps a bit inconveniently located at the very top of the castle. As wind and thunder whipped around outside, a new encounter between the hero and Demon King began anew. Ganondorf used his powers to possess Zelda, using her as a puppet to attack Link. However, without killing her, Link managed to subdue the mind-controlled princess. Midna used her Twilight powers to separate Ganondorf from Zelda, which initially seemed to stop the Gerudo King. However, Ganondorf once more called on the Triforce of Power, turning him into the boar-like demon he had become in a separate future. But even this empowered version was not enough to stop Link, and the hero finishes up Phase 2 of his epic clash against evil with a victory. In a fit of fury, Ganondorf attempts to take out Link, but Midna intervenes, seemingly sacrificing herself in the process. Zelda uses her powers to teleport herself and Link to safety outside of the kingdom's capital, where they see the castle begin to crumble. Suddenly, Ganondorf reappears with the remains of Midna's helmet, implying that he's killed her. Zelda calls upon the aid of the Spirits of Light, messengers of Hylia and the Golden Goddesses, which grant her a bow that fires arrows of light magic to weaken Ganondorf. For one final time, Link and Ganondorf clash, sword against sword. Armed with the Master Sword, the Hero of Twilight bests his foe, stabbing Ganondorf through the same wound that should have been his death long ago. As the Triforce of Power fades from Ganondorf, the King of Evil breathes his last. In this timeline, Ganondorf has once more been defeated. This time, for good. Time is fickle, especially when time travel exists. So let's jump back to the timeline where the Hero of Time defeated Ganondorf and sealed him away in the Sacred Realm. When Zelda sent Link back in time, this meant there was now a world without a hero. Initially, this was alright because there was no great threat that needed one. However, years passed and the Sacred Realm's hold on Ganondorf began to fade. Eventually, he was finally able to gain the strength to break free of his hold in order to once more terrorize Hyrule. The people cried out for anyone to save them. The goddesses, Link, anyone. But nobody answered their cries. The King of Hyrule, Daphnis Nohanson Hyrule, called out to the goddesses once more for their aid. The goddesses finally responded, but not in a way that the people would have liked. A torrential downpour flooded the kingdom. Those who wished to survive climbed the mountaintops as the land sank beneath the growing waves. The king stayed in his castle, accepting his fate as the final King of Hyrule. And yet Ganondorf, now known as the Evil King Ganon, had seemingly been defeated with this dire deus ex machina. Hyrule ceased to exist, and the people moved on as the tales of Hyrule faded into myth. But just like the spiritual realm, Ganon escaped the prison of the sea in order to once more seek his ultimate goal, the Triforce. Not just the Triforce of Power, but all three pieces. He sets up a new base and a fortress on the Great Sea, as it had come to be known, and began plotting a new course of action. Things continue as per usual. Ganon summons horrible monsters that threaten the different groups of Hyrule, well, the Great Sea in this case. And just as before, where there is Ganon, there is a princess and a hero. Ganon uses a massive bird called the Helmarok King to search the islands of the Great Sea, the former mountaintops of Hyrule. Princess Zelda would have been reincarnated by now, a young girl with blonde hair and elven-like pointy ears signifying her Hylian background. By the way, didn't mention it before, but there are both Hylians and humans in Hyrule. The only difference is seemingly the shape of their ears, with humans having rounded ears while Hylians have pointed ears. Unfortunately, quite a few girls in the Great Sea look like this, one which happened to be the younger sister of none other than the latest reincarnation of Link. This time around, Link was joined by a talking boat, the King of Red Lions, as well as a pirate captain named Tetra, who happened to be around Link's age, so like 10, and her crew. The King of Red Lions also revealed to Link that Hyrule still exists, frozen in time beneath the waves. After completing a few trials, Link is safely brought to Hyrule, where he finds the Master Sword. Eventually, Link manages to free his sister from Ganon's fortress and defeats the Helmarak King. He confronts Ganon only to realize that, even with the Master Sword, he is greatly underpowered to face the might of Ganon and the Triforce of Power. Tetra then jumps in to lend a hand. But when she appears, the mark of the Triforce of Power appears on Ganon's hand, telling him another Triforce user is around. He quickly puts together that Tetra is the holder of the Triforce of Wisdom. She is the latest incarnation of Zelda. Link and Tetra are saved before Ganon can kill them, but the Demon King is still at large. Once again, the battle between good and evil can continue. The King of Red Lions brings Link and Zelda to sunken Hyrule. It is there that the boat reveals that he is, in fact, King Daphne's Nohansen Hyrule, the last king before the Great Flood and Tetra's ancestor. He claims that Tetra must stay in sunken Hyrule while Link must go on yet another quest. He must enhance the power of the Master Sword and gain the Triforce of Courage. While Link is off completing this quest, Ganon gains access to the Sunken Kingdom and kidnaps Tetra. When Link returns, he travels to a separate fortress beneath the waves, where Ganon had made his stronghold before the Great Flood. Fighting through hordes of enemies with the empowered Master Sword and the Triforce of Courage, Link confronts Ganon. It is finally here where we learn why Ganondorf wanted the Triforce all those centuries ago. He grew up in the harsh Gerudo Desert. His people suffered in a land without wind where the sun continued to beat down on them. However, it was his homeland. Meanwhile, the people of Hyrule were allowed to flourish in a verdant landscape. Why should they get to enjoy the blessings of the goddess while his people suffered? If he was to get the Triforce, he would have the whole world under his control. His people could feel the wind on their face as they lived in a beautiful landscape. Using his power, Ganon manages to extract the Triforces of Wisdom and Courage from Tetra and Link, thus reforming the true Triforce for the first time in ages. However, before he can wish upon it, the ghost of King Daphnis appears. He uses the Triforce to wish for his kingdom to be totally destroyed, and for Link and Tetra to have a wonderful future where they can find peace. As the ocean begins to pour down around the trio, Ganon makes one final attempt to destroy his enemies. However, as destiny has come to proclaim, good must overcome evil. After a brutal battle, Link drives the Master Sword through the forehead of Ganon. With his dying breath, as the ocean crashes down around him, the Demon King remarks, "The wind. It is blowing." And that is the history of Ganondorf, but it is not the entire history of evil. There would be times where Ganondorf was brought back from the dead as the boar demon Ganon. There's an entire timeline where Ganondorf defeats the older hero of time and takes over the world. And even after his defeat, it did not mean the end of Demise's wrath. Oddly, it would usually come with the birth of yet another Gerudo boy named Ganondorf. Those two specific times would be the Ganondorf in Legend of Zelda: Four Swords Adventure and the most recent game released, Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom. Look, can the Zelda games be corny? Of course. When I was writing this, I was like, oh god, trying to explain the plot of these games makes them sound like they truly are for little kids. But even if they're not the most mature games in the world, the Zelda series is truly top-notch. Ganondorf might be one of the most one-dimensional evil characters ever, but he's still scary. The final fight between him and Link in Twilight Princess is still one of my favorite final boss fights of all time. seeing him come back time and again, each time with a new plan, even if they're all kind of the same, is always a blast. Seriously, if you haven't played any Zelda games, you need to give them a try. I'm probably playing Twilight Princess again while this episode comes out. But for now, that's it for this episode of Royally Fooled. I hope you enjoyed the journey. Be sure to follow the Denim Creek page on Twitter and Instagram for more info about each episode. Be sure to check out regular episodes of the show as they continue to be released. I can't wait for next year's episode of this, though. These truly are so much fun to do. I hope you'll join me next year for another topsy-turvy look into fiction's most interesting rulers.